Forgiveness is so central to our Catholic faith that if we do not forgive as God calls us to forgive, we are not living our Catholicism, and we are no kind of a Christian. My name is Father Robert J. Carr. I welcome you to our broadcast, The Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts. And we are here every single Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at 9:50 a.m., 100.3 FM, WROL here in Boston. And you know that we come to you on Mondays with my homily for this past weekend. And the homily was in regards to the Gospel from St. Matthew, where the king calls in a debtor. Now, the New American Bible Revised Edition that we listen to at a Sunday Mass in the United States says that the man owed a large amount, or huge amount. And that really doesn't help us. So in the homily, I actually find another version of the Bible and explain to you using that version what it is that the man actually owed in American dollars today. Well, the man is forgiven this huge debt, and then he goes out and he throttles someone else who owes a much smaller amount, and I explain what that turns out to be in U.S. dollars, and has him thrown into prison. And this upsets people so much that they go back to the king and say, "You forgave this guy, and look what happened." And then the king takes back his forgiveness, and Jesus explains this is what will happen to us if we don't forgive. Let's hear the homily from this weekend.
The Revised Standard Version, Catholic edition, not the version we see here, gives figures for the debts. 10,000 talents for the first debt and 100 denarii for the second. With those understandings, I can figure out in today's dollars how much the debts actually were. In today's money, the first debt was just above $4,600,000. The second debt was $60,000. As you can see, they are substantial and substantially different. This gives us a deeper understanding of Jesus' teaching. The first man could not pay off such a huge amount. No one could. And remember, this does not include accruing interest. This is an unpayable debt. How did the man get a debt that high? He had a lifestyle to feed, and his debts fed his lifestyle. His spending got out of control. He ended up with a debt no one could pay. The day he was called to the king's chamber, he was hoping would never come. However, in fact, the Bible warns against this exact scenario often. See, for example, Habakkuk chapter 2. So his debt is forgiven, a completely unpayable debt, and then he goes and he throttles this other servant. Remember, if the debt were never forgiven, and he used that smaller debt to help him pay off the larger debt, it would have been basically a waste of time. $60,000 paid against a $4.5 million debt that grows even at 3% a year, accrued on a daily basis, is like throwing a water balloon at a Sherman tank. It's useless. So why did he throttle the servant? Because he had no intention of changing his own lifestyle that caused the debt in the first place. His debt was forgiven, but he had no intention of repenting of his actions. That is Jesus' message. Every sin we commit against God causes an unpayable debt. Every infraction against the law of God is as serious as every serious crime against the law of God. You can go to hell for missing Mass on Sunday, outside of the COVID area, of course, as much as you can for robbing your next door neighbor of his life savings. Who is the one who keeps account of that? God? Actually, no. It's the devil. He is the accuser who lists all your sins and cites why you deserve condemnation according to the law of God. God accepts his accusations, but the sentence is forgiveness. That is how we are forgiven. But forgiveness requires repentance, just as you need to change your life to get out of debt. If you work out a way to settle or pay off your credit card debt, but you do not change your spending habits, you'll be in the worst condition, or you'll be in a worse condition shortly. So the first way to get out of credit card debt is to throw away your credit card, or you will never get out of debt. This is the point of Jesus' message. The person who is forgiven recognizes his sin and gratefully changes his life so he does not end up in this position again. We do that by accepting God's forgiveness on his terms, not on our terms. Therefore, the person who refuses to forgive the neighbor has not repented of his own obstinate refusal of appreciating what God has done for him. There's no change of heart. God won't forgive him because there is nothing to forgive. There's no change of heart. The evidence is a lack of appreciation for what God has done for him. We accept God's forgiveness on his terms, not on our own terms. Now, understanding that, we need to ask what forgiveness is and is not. Forgiveness is a choice not to take vengeance out against a person who has hurt you. Forgiveness is not giving up on a just solution. If someone steals $20 from you, he still owes you $20. But you do not want to send him to prison for a year on top of what he owes you in justice. We leave vengeance up to God. If you refuse to forgive, then you're bringing your vengeance on that person. And if you call yourself Catholic, well, you don't have the option. Vengeance is God's. It is not ours. If a person hurt you, there is a natural process of healing. Forgiveness does not undermine that. The hurt is still there. Let's imagine Joe Jones, who gets angry at you because you scratched his car with your shopping cart in the Star Market parking lot. He hits you, knocks you down, and breaks your arm. Later, he has a change of heart and begs your forgiveness, and you forgive him. Your arm is not going to instantly heal at that moment. It will follow the normal process of healing. The same with our emotions when we are hurt. It takes time for emotional wounds to heal, and sometimes the pain can be so severe that we cannot forgive immediately. We always need God's grace to do this and to do his will, and that includes for the ability to forgive. Further, we seek forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation. Why? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the saying, to err is human, to forgive divine. Forgiveness is something that we need God's grace to do so that we can accept God's forgiveness on his terms, not on our own terms, and to forgive others who ask for it. So forgiveness is central to our faith, both our receiving it and changing our life for the better and for helping others to do the same.
You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM, and you can also hear us at Catholic Audio Media. You're trying to build the habits of your faith. You seek a reference to help you. Where do you find one? Well, have you read Romans chapter 12? Yes, Romans chapter 12.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Romans chapter 12 is a comprehensive list of attitudes and actions to live your faith powerfully.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
St. Paul gives us instructions on how to witness to Christ in these trying times.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
So if you're looking for a good, short synopsis of how to live your faith, check out Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Do you have any thoughts on what topics we should cover here? Do you have any issues you would like us to address here? How about questions you might have? Would you like to audition for a volunteer segment? Then write our program at producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. That's producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. Let us know what topics you would like us to discuss about your Catholic faith. We will consider them, and if they are fit for the show, we'll put them in. producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. We're back, and before the break, you heard my homily from Saturday afternoon at the 4 o'clock Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, where I talked about forgiveness, and I talked about those aspects of forgiveness that are central. Not only God forgives us, but we have to forgive others. And one of the signs that we haven't really fully appreciated what God has forgiven of us is our refusal. There's an inability and there's a refusal. There's two things there. It's our refusal to forgive others. Yet, in fact, if we refuse to forgive others, then we don't understand what God has done for us in forgiving us. And I always like to keep that in mind and also note that the one who keeps a record of our sins is not God, it's the devil, because he is the accuser. He's the one who says, these are who these people are and these are who they are, and that's always the devil's voice. And the devil is legalistic. I don't know if you ever knew that. Exorcists will tell you that. The devil is legalistic. One of my favorite examples of that is in order to do an exorcism, you have to have the bishop's permission, the bishop of the archdiocese, of the diocese. And if you don't have the bishop's permission, it's not a control thing. It's not an protocol thing. If you don't have the bishop's permission, because he is the power of the church in that diocese, then the devil will say to the exorcist, the church is not here. And that's why you need the bishop's permission. So the devil is legalistic, and so he follows the law, and that's why he is the accuser. This person broke the law. And you realize that anything you do that is not an act of love, love for God and love for neighbor, is breaking the law. That's the whole point of Jesus' crucifixion. It was the devil trying to get Jesus not to love for so much as a millisecond, and the humanity would have been lost. So it's the devil that keeps a note of those sins. And the Lord takes us out of the devil's hands, and with his forgiveness, we no longer are subject to that punishment. So it's a real powerful act. And remember, the slightest offense of the law, the devil steps in and says, the law is broken. This man is guilty and needs to be brought to hell. So you can see how powerful that is. Now, at one time, it was a belief that once you were baptized and all your sins were taken away, that you were limited to how many times you could sin after that. And the limit was like once. And if you sinned again, you were lost. And both St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, who actually lived about 1,000 years from each other, but both of them decreed that that is a heresy, that God's mercy is unlimited, and he calls us to have the same amount of mercy. Well, we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on WROL. We've updated CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can now contact us directly here at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. You can donate to the program through several of our online donation portals, and you can read our blog with material that often supplements our radio program. You can, of course, listen to the voice of St. Anthony Parish every day, so check out the new CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com.